John chapter 19. I'm sure many of you are aware of the seven sayings of Christ from the cross as he cried out while he's being nailed to the cross and while hanging on the cross. While they're actually nailing him to the cross, he cried out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And then while on the cross, one of the thieves acknowledged their sin and acknowledged who Christ was, and he repented of his sin, and Christ said to him, "This day you'll be with me in paradise." And then as he looked down from the cross and saw his mother Mary, being concerned for her at the time of his own death, and also seeing the Apostle John, he looked at his mother and said, "Behold your son," and then looked at the Apostle John and said, "Behold your mother," making sure that his mother Mary would be cared for after his death. And then, of course, that cry of anguish, the greatest suffering that he experienced on the cross was not the physical, though that was great, but it was the spiritual, as he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then there was that cry of suffering, which just symbolizes the agony that he did face upon the cross as he simply cried out, "I thirst." And then after getting his tongue wet, he was able to clearly and loudly proclaim victory. "It is finished." That was not the cry of a martyr who was despairing at the time of his death. It was not simply the cry of one who was finally over his suffering. It was a cry of victory. "It is finished. It is accomplished. It is done." And shortly after that cry of victory is then the cry of contentment. "Into thy hands I commend my spirit." This morning we want to look at that cry of the victor. "It is finished." John 19, verses 28 through 30. "After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, said, 'I thirst.' Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, 'It is finished.' And he bowed his head and gave up the spirit." I would suggest to you this morning that when he cried out, "I thirst," that it was not simply to get a drink to ease his pain. In just moments, he was going to die, and he knew that. He gave up his own spirit to the Father, and he knew he was about to do that. He didn't need a drink to ease his pain at that moment. He needed a drink to wet his tongue so he could loudly and clearly proclaim that cry of victory, "It is finished." Tetelestai is the Greek, one word. Tetelestai. It is finished. It is accomplished. It's done. A cry of victory. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that we are able to look at the cross of Christ and see victory and not defeat. Certainly Satan would have thought that that was his greatest victory at that moment. And yet it was at that moment when Satan was defeated. We thank you, Father, that we can study this morning with great hope and with great encouragement this cry of the victor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. At first glance, that cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And that cry, "I thirst," seems to be the cry of a victim. But then he comes to the time of his death, recognizing that he had accomplished all that he was sent to accomplish. And with victory, as the victor, he cries out, "It is finished." What can we learn from those three simple words? Or as I said in the Greek, it's one word, tetelestai. What can we learn from that simple word? First of all, we see the fulfillment of prophecy, and we see that right here in the context. In verse 28, it says, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. That word accomplish is the same exact word as what's used in verse 30 when he says it is finished. It's finished, it's accomplished, it's done. It's been fulfilled is another thought there. It has come to an end, it's been completed is the thought of the word. And so Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, all things were now fulfilled, he's talking about Old Testament prophecy. Everything that had been prophesied concerning the first coming of the Messiah had now been done. It had been accomplished, it had been fulfilled, and there was one more thing that he needed to fulfill, and that was, I thirst. It was prophesied in the Old Testament that he would be given vinegar to drink. And so to fulfill that prophecy, he cries out, I thirst. And they indeed give him some vinegar to drink. And prophecy was fulfilled. And so all those Old Testament prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah now fulfilled. All those Old Testament typologies, all those Old Testament sacrifices now had been completed. They were fulfilled. It was prophesied that he'd be born of a virgin. It was prophesied he'd be born in Bethlehem. It was prophesied that he would flee into Egypt. It was prophesied that he would heal many. It was prophesied that he would calm the storms. It was prophesied, as we recognize on Palm Sunday, that he would ride into Jerusalem to present himself as the king and as the Messiah. It was prophesied that he would be despised. It was prophesied that he'd be hated without a cause. It was prophesied that he'd be betrayed by a friend. It was prophesied that he'd be forsaken by many friends. It was prophesied that he would be accused falsely. It was prophesied that his innocence would be proven and yet crucified. It was prophesied that he'd be pierced through, a description of crucifixion as his hands and feet were pierced. It was all prophesied. And now it had been fulfilled, and the victor cries out, it is finished. It's accomplished. It's fulfilled. All those Old Testament prophecies were now done. Those typologies. Joseph was a type of Christ. Moses was a type of Christ. The rock which Moses struck was a type of Christ. And that now is all fulfilled. The sacrifices of the Old Testament all looked forward to the one sacrifice that would accomplish it all. Those sacrifices could not take away sin. Those sacrifices could not accomplish salvation. They could only cover sin. And now the ultimate sacrifice has come, and it is finished. All those Old Testament sacrifices accomplished nothing apart from this sacrifice. And now it's all fulfilled. And he cries out, it is finished. We also see the completion of his sufferings. As Christ came to this earth, he came knowing that this hour was to come. This time of suffering, this time of crucifixion, this time of death was always on the horizon. Even at the age of 12, remember he told his parents, "Do you not understand? I must be about my Father's business." He knew why he was here. We read in Hebrews that he came to do the will of God. He himself said, "My meat or my food is to do the will of him that sent me." In Romans chapter 8, we read that he came to deliver creation from the bondage of corruption. In John chapter 1, we read that he came to reveal or to make known the Father. He came to do the Father's business. He was sent on a mission. That mission was now accomplished. That for which he left the glories of heaven was now done. That for which he took upon himself the form of the servant was now completed. His sufferings were now coming to an end. He was indeed a man of sorrows throughout his earthly ministry. And throughout that earthly ministry, he often made reference to this impending death. At the marriage in Cana, when he first began his earthly ministry, and when he did his first recorded miracle, he made this statement to his mother, "My hour is not yet come." And then often through his earthly ministry, he referred to the hour that was coming. He referred to the cup that he needed to drink. That crucifixion was always before him. He told the disciples that he needed to go to Jerusalem, and there he would suffer many things and be killed by the religious leaders. At the transfiguration, he stood talking to Moses and Elijah, and it says they talked about his approaching death. It was always before him. He suffered throughout his earthly ministry, but it was the anticipation of this crucifixion that was always before him. And then that time came, and he suffered the agony of Gethsemane. He suffered the injustice of the trials that he faced before the Sanhedrin and before Pilate and even before Herod. He suffered the brutality of the soldiers. He suffered being nailed to the cross. He hung 6 hours on the cross. He was forsaken by God the Father. He was thirsty. But now, the completion of his suffering was over. And for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And now the endurance of the cross is done. It is finished. His suffering was over. No longer would he be the man of sorrows. We have also the goal of the incarnation. Again, at the age of 12, he said, I must be about my Father's business. And so he was trying to accomplish all that the Father wanted him to do. The Father's will needed to be done, not just at the cross, but again, throughout his earthly ministry, he was doing the Father's business. And so while on earth, he had much to do. And now, all that he had to do was done. The goal was now reached. He had done his Father's business. All of it. Again, not just the cross, not just the crucifixion, but from the time of his birth until the time of his death, he was about his Father's business, accomplishing the will of God, declaring and making known the Father, demonstrating the righteousness of God to sinful man. In John chapter 17, he prayed, "Father, glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was, even as I have glorified you." He had glorified the Father, and now he was praying that he'd be glorified with the glory that he had before he came to this world. And so now it was all accomplished. He had glorified the Father. He had finished the Father's business. And so in victory, he cries out, "It is finished. It's done. I've done the work that I've been called to do and why I came to this earth." Of course, what we think of first and foremost would be the truth that he accomplished salvation. We read in Luke chapter 19 that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. In Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, we read that he came to redeem them that were under the law. We also recognize that he came to save sinners. He came to take away sin, 1 John chapter 4 tells us. All of that could only be accomplished through the cross. The lost could only be found through the cross. The sinner could only be saved through the cross. Those that were under the law could only be redeemed through the cross. The sins could only be taken away through the cross. And now, the cross has happened. And it's finished. The lost are found. The sinner is saved. The redeemed, or the ones under the law, are redeemed. The sins are taken away. And he cries out, "It is finished. It's accomplished." The demands of God's justice were met. The requirements of God's holiness were satisfied. The penalty for sin was paid. Nothing more needed to be done to secure the salvation of sinners. It is finished. It's accomplished. It's done. How sad for those today who believe there's something they can add to it. That somehow, through their own good works, they can help save themselves. Or some believe that we need to suffer at least a little bit for our sin, and so we need to go to purgatory at least for a while before we can get to heaven. Somehow man has to add to what Christ did. We have to add our good works. We have to add some suffering of our own before we can truly be saved and go to heaven. And Christ cried out, "It is finished. It's done. It's complete." When something's complete, there's nothing more to add to it. And he cries out, "It's completed." There's nothing more to add to it. And mankind, when he thinks that somehow we need to add our good works, we are mocking the very words of Christ, just like the soldiers at the foot of the cross were mocking him. When we think we need to save ourselves or do something at least to add to the salvation through our own good works, we are no less mocking Christ as the soldiers mocked Christ. If we think somehow we need to suffer in purgatory or somehow suffer in some way to pay for our own sins, we are mocking the very words of Christ. It is finished. It's done. It's complete. Nothing more to add to it. We see the end of sin. By that I don't mean that when we trust Christ as our Savior, we don't sin anymore. What I mean by that is, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Christ brought an end to our sin in the sense that he took away our sin. The Old Testament sacrifices covered over sins, but could not take them away. Only the blood of Christ could take away our sins. Hebrews makes that very clear. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin, but the blood of Christ could. Those Old Testament sacrifices simply covered over sin. Those Old Testament sacrifices only look forward to the ultimate sacrifice that would ultimately take away the sin. And so Christ, recognizing that he was that ultimate sacrifice, and as he paid the price and paid the penalty for our sin, he was able to declare, "It is finished." Sin is not just covered over anymore. Sin is taken away. It's gone. There's an end to the sin. And hallelujah, we can praise the Lord this morning that our sins are not just buried someplace to be dug up again, but they are gone. He's brought an end to sin. Again, there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Our sin was placed upon him. He became guilty of my sin. And because he was guilty of my sin, he had to pay the penalty for my sin. And in paying the penalty for my sins are now taken away. They're gone. They're forgiven. It is finished. The fulfillment of the law's requirements. Because man is born a sinner, man can never fulfill the requirements of God. God is holy. He cannot tolerate sin. He cannot look upon sin. He is totally separate from sin. And if we're going to enjoy his presence forever, we can have no sin. And yet we're born sinners. As we're born sinners, we fall short of God's standard. We fall short of his requirements. We never can quite reach them on our own. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23 tells us. We come short of God's standard. We come short of God's requirements. And there's no way that we can get to heaven on our own because we come short of those requirements. But Christ came as a man. He still was God, but he came also as a man. And as a man, he fulfilled every requirement of the Father, every requirement of the law. He was totally and completely holy. He was totally and completely righteous, and he accomplished the requirements of the law. He accomplished the requirements of God. And through faith in him, the righteousness of Christ is put to our account, and we get the credit for his righteousness. He took our sin upon him, and he took the guilt of our sin and paid the penalty for our sin. And then in return, through faith in him, his righteousness is put to our account, and we get credit for his righteousness. And on the cross, he cries out, "It's finished. It's done. The requirements of the law are satisfied. My righteousness is put to the account of those who trust me." Romans chapter 8 tells us that the righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us. Righteousness of the law is not fulfilled by us. The righteousness of the law was fulfilled by Christ, but it's fulfilled in us through faith in Christ as we get credit for his righteousness. And Christ cries out, "It is finished. It's done." The requirements of the law satisfied in my behalf through faith in Christ. We have the destruction of Satan's power . As an outside observer, one might look at the cross and say, Satan wins. Satan himself thought that was his greatest time of victory. He crucified the Son of God. He crucified the Messiah. He wins. And yet it was at the cross where Satan experiences his greatest defeat. For it was at the cross where Satan's power is destroyed. We understand Satan is not yet cast into the lake of fire, but his doom is certain. He is a defeated foe. Satan will face that lake of fire forever. We read in Hebrews chapter 2 that through the fear of death, man is in slavery to Satan. Satan is able to enslave man through the fear of death. But we as believers are freed from that slavery to Satan because we no longer fear death. Christ has removed the sting of death. We have victory over death. We need not fear death. And so Satan cannot control us. He cannot enslave us through the fear of death any longer. As believers, we're freed from that slavery. We're freed from his power. And in Hebrews chapter 2, we read indeed that through death, Christ destroyed him that had the power of death. That is the devil. His power over us has been made ineffective. Because we no longer fear death, we have victory over death. We have victory over sin. And so the power of Satan's destroyed. It's made ineffective in the life of the believer. In Colossians chapter 1, we're told that we've been delivered from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Delivered from the power of darkness. Translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. Satan no longer has a legitimate claim over us. Satan once worked in us, but now it's God that's working in us. And Christ cries out from the cross, "It's finished." Satan's power is made ineffective. And Satan is defeated. That battle has been won. It is finished. As believers, we no longer are in bondage to Satan through the fear of death. Satan is a defeated foe. We need to remember that, dear believer. Sometimes I think we still live our lives as if Satan has power over us, and he does not. Not in the power of Christ. He's a defeated enemy, and we need to remember that, and we need to live in that light. Not in the power of darkness, but we've been translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. It is finished. The fulfillment of prophecy, the completion of his sufferings, the goal of the incarnation, the accomplishment of salvation, the end of sin, the fulfillment of the law's requirements, the destruction of Satan's power, all in those three little words, it is finished, or in that one Greek word, tetelestai. It's done. It's completed. It's accomplished. The goal's been reached. Nothing more to do. It is finished. In dying on the cross, Christ fought with sin, Satan, death, and hell. Sin said, I'll nail you to the cross. Satan said, I'll conquer you now. Death said, I have your grave ready. Hell said, Satan is king. But Christ was paying the penalty for our sin. He was binding Satan. He was conquering death. He was locking the gates of hell. And he was opening the gates of heaven. And when it was all done, he cried out, "It is finished." The cry of the victor. Tetelestai. It's all completed. Have you trusted him as your Savior? Do you see that finished work upon the cross in your behalf, for your salvation, for your eternal destiny? Let's bow in prayer. Father, again, we thank you for recording for us these cries of Christ from the cross, and particularly this cry of victory. Father, we thank you that our salvation has been completed. There's nothing more we can add to it. We need to accept it by faith. And I pray if there's any here this morning that aren't sure of their salvation, they've never trusted Christ, or they just have questions, that they would seek out answers. They would not leave this morning still doubting or still wondering or still questioning. That they'd look us up, that they'd seek us out, that they'd find answers in your word so that they might know that they have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Have questions or concerns, please seek us out. We're here to help you. We'll take you to God's Word and show you in God's Word how you can have assurance of your salvation. Shall we stand? Father, again, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this time together this morning that we could go back to Calvary and reflect upon that love. May we continue to do so throughout this week as we look forward to celebrating next Sunday the resurrection of our Savior. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Good morning. May God bless you.